We're continuing our perpetual reading of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the 10th canto, 2nd chapter, Prayers by the Demigods for Lord Krishna in the Womb. And I'm about to read a summary of the chapter 2. Are you ready?
Yes.
I'm not convinced.
Yes. Okay.
As described in this chapter, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead entered the womb of Devaki to kill Kamsa, all the demigods understood that the Lord was living within Devaki's womb, and therefore, in veneration, they offered him the Garbhastuti prayers. Kamsa, under the protection of his father-in-law, Jarasandha, and with the help of his demoniac friends like Pralamba, Baka, Chanura, Trinavarta, Aghasura, Mushtika, Bana, and Bhomasura, began oppressing the members of the Yadu dynasty. Therefore, the members of the Yadu dynasty left their homes and sought shelter in such states as Kuru, Panchala, Kekai, Shalva, and Vidarbha. Only some of them stayed with Kamsa as nominal friends. After Kamsa killed the Shadgarbhas, the six sons of Devaki, one after another, Anantadev entered Devaki's womb and was transferred to the womb of Rohini by the manipulation of Yogamaya, who was following the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord himself, who was soon to appear as the eighth son of Devaki, ordered Yogamaya to take birth from the womb of Yashoda Devi. Because Krishna and his potency, Yogamaya, appeared simultaneously as brother and sister, the world is full of Vaishnavas and Shaktas, and there is certainly some rivalry between them. Vaishnavas worship the Supreme Lord, whereas Shaktas, according to their desires, worship Yogamaya in forms like Durga, Bhadrakali, and Chandika. Following the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Yogamaya transferred Baladev, Sankarshan, the seventh child of Devaki, from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini. Because Sankarshan appears in order to increase love of Krishna, he is known as Baladev. One may take auspicious strength from him to become a devotee of the Lord, and therefore he is also known as Balabhadra. After Yogamaya transferred the seventh child of Devaki to the womb of Rohini, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared within the heart of Vasudev and transferred himself into the heart of Devaki. Because the Lord was present in her heart, Devaki, as her pregnancy continued, appeared effulgent. Upon seeing this effulgence, Kamsa was full of anxiety, but he could not harm Devaki because of their family relationship. Thus he began indirectly thinking of Krishna and became fully Krishna conscious. Meanwhile, because of the Lord's presence within the womb of Devaki, all the demigods came to offer the Lord their prayers. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, they said, is eternally the absolute truth. The spiritual soul is more important than the gross body, and the supersoul, Paramatma, is still more important than the soul. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is absolutely independent, and his incarnations are transcendental. The prayers of the demigods glorify and exalt devotees and explain the fate of persons who superficially consider themselves liberated from the conditions of material nature. A devotee is always safe. When a devotee fully surrenders at the lotus feet of the Lord, he is completely liberated from the fear of material existence. By explaining why the Supreme Personality of Godhead descends, the prayers of the demigods certainly, clearly confirm the Lord's statement in Bhagavad Gita 4:7, Yada yada hi dharmasya lanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam srajamyaham. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of your religion, at that time I descend myself. Texts 1 and 2. Shishuku vacha pralamba bhakka chanura trinavarta mahashanihi mushtika rishta dvidvida putana kesha dhenukihi anyaish chasura bhupalair bana bhauma dibir yutaha yadunam karanam chakre bali magata samshrayaha. Shukadeva Goswami said, under the protection of Magadraj, Jarasandha, the powerful Kamsa began persecuting the kings of the Yadu dynasty. In this, he had the cooperation of demons like Pralamba, Baka, Chanurna, Trinavarta, Agasura, Mushtika, Arishta, Dvidvid, Putana, Keshi, Denuka, Banasura, Narakasura, and many other demoniac kings on the surface of the earth. Purport. This verse supports the following statement given by the Lord in Bhagavad Gita 4, 7, 8. Yadha yadha hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam srajamyaham paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chatuskritam dharmasam stapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of your religion, at that time I descend myself. To deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion, I advent myself millennium after millennium. The Lord's purpose in maintaining this material world is to give everyone a chance to go back home, back to Godhead. But kings and political leaders unfortunately try to hinder the purpose of the Lord, and therefore the Lord appears either personally or with his plenary portions to set things right. It is therefore said, Garbham samcharyarohinyam devakya yogamayaya tasya kukshim gata krishno dvitiyo vibhudhai stutaha. Krishna appeared in the womb of Devaki after transferring Baladev to the womb of Rohini by the power of Yoga Maya. Yadu Bhisa Vyadrudyata. The kings of the Yadu dynasty were all devotees, but there were many powerful demons, such as Shalva, who began to persecute them. At that time, Jarasandha, who was Kamsa's father-in-law, was extremely powerful, and therefore Kamsa took advantage of his protection and the help of the demons in persecuting the kings of the Yadu dynasty. The demons naturally appeared more powerful than the demigods, but ultimately, because of help received from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the demons were defeated and the demigods triumphant. Text 3. Te pidita nivivishu Kuru panchalake kayan, shalvan vidharbam nishadhan, videhan koshalan api. Persecuted by the demoniac kings, the Yadavas left their own kingdom and entered various others, like those of the Kurus, Panchalas, Kekayas, Shalvas, Vidarbas, Nishadas, Videhas, and Koshalas. Eketam aduradhana, yataya Pariupasate Hateshu Satsubhaleshu Devakya Anu Grasnina. Saptamo Vaishnavam Dharma Yamanantam Prachakshate Garbo Babhuva Devakya Harshashoka Vivardanaha. Some of their relatives, however, began to follow Kamsa's principles and act in his service. After Kamsa, the son of Ugrasena, killed the six sons of Devaki, a plenary portion of Krishna entered her womb as her seventh child, arousing her pleasure and her lamentation. That plenary portion is celebrated by great sages as Ananta, who belongs to Krishna's second quadruple expansion. Purport. Some of the chief devotees, such as Akrura, stayed with Kamsa to satisfy him. This they did for various purposes. They all expected the Supreme Personality of Godhead to appear as the eighth child as soon as Devaki's other children were killed by Kamsa, and they were eagerly awaiting his appearance. By remaining in Kamsa's association, they would be able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead take birth and display his childhood pastimes, and Akura would later go to Vrindavan to bring Krishna and Balaram to Mathura. The word Pariupasade is significant, because it indicates that some devotees wanted to stay near Kamsa in order to see all these pastimes of the Lord. The six children killed by Kamsa had formerly been sons of Marichi, but because of having been cursed by a Brahmin, they were obliged to take birth as grandsons of Hiranyakashipu. Kamsa had taken birth as Kalanami, and now he was obliged to kill his own sons. This was a mystery. As soon as the sons of Devaki were killed, they would return to their original place. The devotees wanted to see this also. Generally speaking, no one kills his own nephews, but Kamsa was so cruel that he did so without hesitation. Ananta Sankarsana belongs to the second Chaturvyuha, or quadruple expansion. This is the opinion of experienced commentators. Bhagavan api vishvatma vididva kamsajanpayam yadunam nijanatanam yogamayam samadishat. To protect the Yadus, his personal devotees, from Kamsa's attack, the personality of Godhead, Vishvatma, the supreme soul of everyone, ordered Yogamaya as follows. Purport. The words Bhagavanapi Vishvatma Viditva Kamsajam Payam are commented upon by Srila Sanatana Goswami. Bhagavan Swayam is Krishna, Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. He is Vishvatma, the original supersoul of everyone, because his plenary portion expands as the supersoul. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 13.3. Shetrajnam chapimam vidhi sarva shetrishu bharata. Lord Krishna is the Kshetrajna, or supersoul, of all living entities. He is the original source of all expansions of the personality of Godhead. There are hundreds and thousands of plenary expansions of Vishnu, such as Sankarsana, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, and Vasudev. But here in this material world, the Vishvatma, the supersoul for all living entities, is Shirdakshai Vishnu. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 18.61, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Vride Shera Arjuna Tishtati. The Supreme Lord is situated in the heart of all living entities, O Arjuna. Krishna is actually Vishvatma, by his plenary expansion as Vishnu Tattva, yet because of his affection for his devotees, he acts as supersoul to give them directions. Sarvasya chaham radisani vishto mattaksmitir kyanam apohanam cha. The affairs vedaischa sarver ahameva vedyo vedanta krid veda vedeva chaham. The affairs of the supersoul pertain to Shirdakshai Vishnu, but Krishna took compassion on Devaki, his devotee, because he understood her fear of Kamsa's persecution. A pure devotee is always fearful of material existence. No one knows what will happen next, for one may have to change his body at any moment. Tata dehantara praptihi. Knowing this fact, a pure devotee acts in such a way that he will not have his life spoiled by being obliged to accept another body and undergo the tribulations of material existence. This is bhayam, or fear. Bhayam dvitiya binibeshita syat, Bhagavatam 11.2.37. This fear is due to material existence. Properly speaking, everyone should always be alert and fearful of material existence. But although everyone is prone to be affected by the ignorance of material existence, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is always alert to the protection of his devotees. Krishna is so kind and affectionate toward his devotees that he helps them by giving them the intelligence by which to exist in this material world without forgetting him, even for a moment. The Lord says, Tesham evanukam partam ahamagyanajam tamaha nashayam yatmapavasto gyanadipena pasvata. Out of compassion for them, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. Bhagavad Gita 10.11. The word yoga means link. Any system of yoga is an attempt to reconnect our broken relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are different types of yoga, of which bhakti yoga is the best. In other yoga systems, one may undergo various processes before attaining perfection, but bhakti yoga is direct. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 6.47, Yoginam api sarvesha madgatanantaratmana shadhavan bhajate yomam same yuktatamo mataha. Of all yogis, he who always abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga, and is the highest of all. For the bhakti yogi, a human body is guaranteed in his next existence. As stated by Krishna, Shuchinam Srimatam Gehe Yoga Brashto Bijayate. Yoga Maya is the spiritual potency of the Lord. Out of affection for his devotees, the Lord always stays in spiritual touch with them. Although otherwise, his Maya potency is so strong that she bewilders even exalted demigods like Brahma. Therefore, the Lord's potency is called Yoga Maya. Since the Lord is Vishvatma, he immediately ordered Yoga Maya to give protection to Devaki. The devotees are always afraid of the material existence, and Prahlad Maharaj said as much in his prayers to Lord Nrsingadev, that I'm not afraid of your sharp pinching teeth, your garland of intestines, your roar that is scaring everyone all over the universe. Even the demigods were afraid. Even Lakshmiji was afraid to come forward before Lord Nrsingadev. And Prahlad wasn't afraid. He said, my Lord, I'm not afraid of your fearsome form. But in the next verse he says, what I am afraid of is your Maya. Because Vishnu Maya is so bewildering that everyone, Vishwamrita Muni, for 10,000 years meditated and had achieved a high level of yogic trance, but then without even seeing Menaka, he just heard the ankle bells. That's all. Just heard them. And he broke his meditation and off he went. And Shakuntala was born soon afterwards. So devotees realize that their main protection in life is taking this humble humble mood of a servant. Trinadapi suni chena toror api suhishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadaharihi. Srila Prabhupada says in one of his famous lectures, they're all famous, that one who considers that I am the servant, 1,000,000 times removed, is liberated. Such a person who keeps him or herself in the lowly position of being the servant of the servant of the servant is in a safe position to be servant of Krishna. And we see in this pastime also that the devotees, no matter what their situation in life, are trying to get close to Krishna. This is the prerogative of the devotee. This is their impetus, is to always be somehow be close to Krishna. And this is one of the great secrets of life. The science of bhakti yoga is the science of association. Because whomever we associate with, we take on their qualities. Purusha prakriti stohi bhunte prakriti jan gunan karanam guna sango sya sarasad yoni janmasu. Krishna says as much in the Bhagavad Gita 13th chapter, that when we associate with anyone or anything, we pick up the mode of nature that that person or thing is in. And we assume that also because we're very tiny. Kesha grashat bhagasha sharam shasadrishat makaha. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught Sanatana Goswami what our position is, that we're very tiny. He said, 1/10,000th size, the tip of a hair. This is the size of the soul, it's calculated. And so, by association, I'm affected. And therefore, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asked, what is a Vaishnava? He said, Asat Sangha Tyage Vaishnavachar. He said, a Vaishnava, somebody who gives up bad association. Select whom you associate with. And if you associate, on the other hand, with devotees of the Lord who are always absorbed in Krishna, that is the way to advance in Krishna consciousness. And the devotees carry Krishna within their heart. Bhavadvida bhagavatas tirta bhuta svayam vibho tirta kurvanti tirtani swantak stena gata brita. Yudhishthir said to Vidura that devotees like your good self are verily holy places personified because you carry the Supreme Personality of Godhead within your heart. And therefore, anyone who takes the association of the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord who are very humble and who consider themselves servants of the servant of the servant, that kind of association will help us advance in devotional service. And So this is the great secret of life. It's just showing up in the right place at the right time. So all of you are here for the at the right place at the right time. The Janmashtami celebration is like a special sale. When you have news that there's a sale going on somewhere, 99% off, then you go on that day instead of the next day or the day after that. And so devotees are expert at finding their way into the middle of the kirtan, into wherever Krishna is, and they want to see his pastimes, because just by being there, by seeing Krishna's pastimes, by being in the vicinity, then the devotees are happy. Haridas Thakur, when he was thrown in jail unceremoniously, because he was a Muslim, but he became the Namacharya. He became the Acharya of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And the Muslim government wanted to punish him for that, because they're very upset in their own sectarian way, that how have you become a Hindu? So how can a Muslim become a Hindu? So they tried to beat it out of him. They took him to 22 marketplaces and they beat him mercilessly. And Haridas Thakur didn't stop chanting Hare Krishna. And Haridas Thakur at another time was put in jail. And when he went into the prison, all the prisoners, who were mostly political prisoners also, heard that this great saint was coming. So they were very happy, and they came forward to take his blessings. And he said, "Stay as you are." And then they became very morose, because they were in jail, and he said, "Stay as you are." And he said, "Actually, stay as you are now, that even though you're in jail, you've become excited to come see me, and you're thinking about Krishna, and it doesn't matter if you're in jail, you're inside or outside. Narayana paraksarve nakutashana bhibhyati swarga pavarga narakeshu apituliana darshana." Srimad Bhagavatam says a devotee doesn't distinguish between heaven or hell, because wherever he or she goes, that devotee is absorbed in thinking of Krishna. There's no reason to go anywhere unless one goes to see Krishna. In fact, the Shastra says if you go somewhere and the Ganga's not there, or there's no Vaishnava there, then you've gone to a barren place. Maybe some of you have experienced this. Some years ago, Nirkula and I decided to go to Belize. It's some island, I think. And when we got there, although it was a heavenly place, there was no temple, there was no chanting, there was no devotees, and even though it was a very beautiful place with nice beaches and sunset and everything, it felt like hell. Whereas you can be in the most disturbing place in the world, but if there's devotees, if there's Vaishnavas, if Krishna's there, then the devotee can be happy. Otherwise not. So the great secret in life is to stay close to Krishna somehow or other. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a very famous verse in the 10th canto, 14th chapter, that says, "Tatenu kampam susamikshamanu bunjana evatma kritam vipakam ridvagvapur vividadam namaste jiveta yo mukti pade sadaya bhak." And it's a prayer by Lord Brahma. He's saying that the devotee of the Lord accepts any condition of life, whatever miserable things, whatever reactions seem to be coming, that devotee accepts them as the mercy of the Lord for his own purification. And he doesn't try to counteract them either, because he's become neutral. Dukeshu anuvigna manaha sukesu vigatasriha vitaragabaya krodha stita dirmuni uchate. He says stita dirmuni, which means that he doesn't care whether there's happiness or the distress comes. In either way, he remains neutral, because he's only doing his duty to Krishna. He only wants to stay close to Krishna, somehow or other stay close to Krishna. And in the purport to that verse, there's a very famous commentary given by the great Acharya Sridhar Swami. And Sridhar Swami says that just as a son of a rich man has one duty in life only. Let me ask you, what is the one duty of the son of a rich man? Stay alive. Because when the father dies, he inherits the wealth. So Sadaya Bach in the verse, Tatenu Kampam Susimik Shimano, means the person who adopts this mentality that whatever comes to me, it's Krishna's mercy. Suffering, enjoyment, he doesn't distinguish. If some good facility comes, he sees it as Krishna's arrangement so he can engage more in Krishna's service. And if some miserable condition comes, he takes it that Krishna is taking away my desire to enjoy in this material world, is purifying me, keeping me closer to him. And so Sridhar Swami says the main business of the son is to stay alive. And he gives this advice, somehow or other, stay alive in Krishna consciousness. We can all do that, right? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, don't try to be a great devotee. Just try to be a good devotee. He said, don't try to act in such a way, don't try to see Krishna even. Act in such a way that Krishna will want to see you. In fact, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur himself, when he would enter a temple, he would stand near the back of the temple, near the Garuda Stambha. Here's our Garuda Stambha here. Just above your head. And sometimes people would come to him. He was a great acharya, and they would say, please come forward, come close to the deities, come see the deities. And he would say, no, I'm standing underneath Garuda, the pure devotee of the Lord, and that way Krishna will look back and he'll see me. So much of devotional service is positioning, how you can position yourself. In fact, if you're with the right person, Jai Shri Shri Radhamadan Mohanji Ki Jai, then you can get entry into many different places. I was once traveling in India with a dear godbrother of mine, and we were going to many different temples and holy places, and every time we'd go someplace, we'd bow down and we'd offer obeisances to our spiritual master, saying, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namini Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarni. And after doing that about 100 times in 100 different places, he looked at me and said, you know, we're offering obeisances to different deities, but we keep saying the pranam mantra to our spiritual master. Why do we do that? I said, I don't know. You tell me. And he said, because when we come before the deity, then we're announcing, this is who I'm with. This is who let me in here. On my own, I don't have the power to come in here and stand before the deity, come into this temple. I wouldn't even know about the place. But this is the great pure devotee who let me in. So also the great science of Krishna consciousness, it's not what you know, it's who you know. In fact, I saw once a great t-shirt that said, a good lawyer knows the law and a great lawyer knows the judge. So devotees try to get close to Krishna in whatever way they can, and the best way to get close to Krishna is become the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant a million times removed. If I can comprehend that and be as humble as a blade of grass, then at every moment I can see Krishna. And this was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's edict. He said that kirtaniya sadahari, it's possible to always chant Hare Krishna if you feel yourself very lowly and humble. And that you're the servant of others, always ready to give respect to others, not expecting any respect in return. In fact, the world becomes a friendly place. Actually, if we all experiment, tomorrow's Monday. So our experiment can be that wherever we go, we'll only give respect to others, but we won't take any respect for ourselves. Can we do that for 24 hours tomorrow, starting tomorrow morning? Well, you're probably already all doing that, but I'm going to try. What do you think will be my experience if I do that all day long? You're nodding your head. Do you think it's a good idea? Why? What do you think will happen? that I'll become humble? I hope so. I'll recognize Krishna in everyone. How do you think people will respond to me if I treat everyone with utmost respect and I don't try to take any respect in return at all? What do you think will happen tomorrow in the office? I'm not going to the office, but if I was. Huh? They won't be able to live without you. It would change my reality.
Life is so bad that if you give honor to someone else, they feel, oh, that person likes me. I can't live without.
It's just such a simple thing, but it's the secret of life. It's taught in all the Shastras, and this is the quintessential attitude of the devotee. And so for the devotee, there's no hellish place, because the devotee is only a humble servant. He's only going anywhere because he's going to serve Krishna. So it's up to Krishna what the result is. There's no anxiety. There's no weight on the devotee's head because it's all for Krishna. Of course, there's anxiety because he wants to do things well for Krishna. But for his personal self, there's no motivation and there's no agenda. And when you've got no agenda, you've got nothing to lose and nothing to hide. And that's a relief to have nothing to hide, isn't it? So these books, we cannot take them for granted. Our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, gave us a phrase, books are the basis. And books like this, Srimad Bhagavatam, I may take it for granted because nowadays there's high-speed electronic digital printing and you can just get books everywhere. People hand books out, they drop books here and books are everywhere. But books used to be written down on palm leaves, you know. I have one at home. Recently someone gave me a palm leaf with handwritten. It's immaculate also, the handwriting on that. But imagine how long it takes to copy one book by hand with a stylus on a palm leaf. And then you have to dry it in the sun, each leaf. That's how Shastras used to be passed around. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passed around the Brahma Samhita, Krishna Karanamrita in that way from one person to the next. And then somehow or other, there's a good side to all this technology which is unlimitedly disturbing, also has its good side, and that is we have access in mass quantity to books like the Srimad Bhagavatam. So here at the ISV, which stands for, do you know what it stands for? ISV? We call this place ISV. I always say, I'm from ISV. People, what? Where? And then, oh, ISV. ISV stands for, legally it stands for ISKCON of Silicon Valley. Because we weren't thinking just San Jose, we're thinking all of Silicon Valley. Actually, we're thinking about the whole Bay Area and beyond. And it also stands for individual, spontaneous, and voluntary. Because Prabhupada wrote to one of the leaders in ISKCON and said, the way to manage is to create an environment in which people want to do service that's individual, spontaneous, and voluntary. He also said you should create a fresh challenge so that everyone wants to rise up and meet it on a regular basis. And then one of our dear friends, Jai Keshava Prabhu, has visited here several times. He also said that ISV stands for ISKCON Sankirtan Village. So there are many meanings to ISV. And we're an expanding community. And we don't know how we're expanding exactly. Practically, we don't know anything. We just know that we've inherited a really, really important and good thing, and we're trying to hang on to it as best we can, taking the instructions that we personally received and that we are still receiving from these books, and we're trying to apply them in our life in whatever way we possibly can. And that's difficult because life, there's an onslaught from every direction. People come up to me all the time and say, I'd like to do devotional service, but you see, I have two kids, and you see, I can't leave the house, and fill in the blank. I've found out by looking around and talking to practically hundreds of people that everyone has some extenuating circumstance. There's some complication everywhere in Kali Yuga, not the least of which is the cell phone. someone, when cell phones first came out, it was years ago, I said, well, I think I'll get one. And they said, are you sure you want that following you around? But now it's too late. So our ISV mission is to take full advantage of this great legacy and this wellspring of transcendental knowledge that's been passed down to us. And we have several mottos here that you might like to know. One is always better service. We always are looking for a way to improve our service here at ISV. And we feel that this is the formula. If we're trying to improve our service, especially by making a welcoming atmosphere, then people will want to come. Everyone's looking for happiness, and everyone wants relationship, and everyone wants to feel some inspiration. So we're trying to organize this community in such a way that people can come from anywhere and feel that inspiration from any walk of life. So factually speaking, we are taxing our brains constantly, thinking of ways to expand this mission. We invite all of you to help us, because all of you know how to do things. You manage households, you manage money, you deal with people. Who knows, if we did an interview with everyone here, every one of you has some kind of genius. And we're an open door community. We're asking everyone to please come here and please apply your genius to do something wonderful for the world. And make this area, this Silicon Valley area, a beacon for the world, where there's a shining example of a place where people from every religious background can come and feel a spiritual environment and feel welcomed and elevate themselves spiritually by taking this principle of Sanatan Dharma. It's a non-sectarian process. It's not meant for any class of people. It's meant for everybody, every living entity, not just human beings. It's meant for the animals, too. We have outreach programs that are meant for the animals as well. So this night is not only a celebration of Janmashtami, it's a time for us to welcome those of you who come once a year or here for the first time. And thank you very much for coming and making this a joyous occasion with us. And please come and find out, if you like, if you're inspired by what you see here, how we can together expand this project all over Silicon Valley. Everyone here is a volunteer. The devotees here, there are some devotees that live here 24 hours a day just to take care of the deity. There are other devotees that are, they work and they maintain their families, but the balance of their time they use only for expanding this mission, for seeing how to distribute these books to people. We have programs at Stanford University where hundreds of people come to listen about Krishna consciousness. At San Jose State University, we have devotees going out all over the Bay Area door to door. Did you know last year we distributed almost 100,000 books just in this Bay Area going door to door, 100,000 books. If we piled them up in this room, I think it would fill up the room, wouldn't it? Ramesh, what do you think? He said easily, and he knows what he's talking about. So imagine several of these rooms being filled up with books and then going out. So we have many, many ambitions here, and part of our open house here at Janmashtami is to invite you in. Please come in. Please come help us. If you have 5 minutes every month, we'll take it. We want to be with you. We want you to come and join us to expand this joyous program of Janmashtami, not just for once a year, but for every single day. People are starving for spiritual knowledge. They're being bombarded. If they turn on the news in the morning, they're finished. Their mind will become their worst enemy the rest of the day. In the pit of their stomach, they're worried that they've lost all their money. They haven't really lost anything. It's just numbers on a screen, isn't it? Isn't it? I just imagine that I have some money, but still all you can eat is one piece of toast every day anyway. Even if you get your $1 million in your 401k, you can still only eat one piece of toast with a little jam after all. So what the great need of the world is Krishna. People need to have a spiritual connection, and they've lost it. And all over the world, people are floundering, and they're looking, and they're fighting, and they're arguing. And we want to expand the spiritual sound vibration all over the world. And that's another of our mottos, and that is purify the sound vibration. So please come and join us. We have programs every day of the week here at ISV, and we'd like to have you all come every day for Mangalartik. Would that be possible? Are you still paying attention? I'll ask you, would you like to all come for Mangalartik every day? Oh, okay. So we'll see you all at 4 a.m. we started this morning at 4 a.m. And we go all day. So it's open. It's open to everybody. So welcome. Thank you very much for coming to ISV. And please come forward and offer your individual spontaneous and voluntary sentiments and service, and we'll take it. Thank you very much. Shri Krishna Janmashtami ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohanji ki jai. Shri Sankirtan Yajna ki jai. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Gaur Premanande Haribol. So now it's 11:30, so we're counting down the minutes until the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead at midnight. Akurinath Prabhu has a few words to say, but before he does, we're going to have a 5-minute bhajan because it's too much talking. I've talked a lot. And we're just going to sing for 5 minutes because that will purify the atmosphere. And then Akurinath Prabhu will speak a few words about our projects here. Is that okay?